Welcome to My Wild Magic with me, your host, Adrienne Cobb. Join me on a journey back home to your truest self in this inspiring, enlightening, and entertaining show. After a near-death experience in a car crash at 15 years old, I made a choice to stay and brought back with me three simple truths that I found from the other side. Love is all there is. Our time is over here quicker than we think. And we all have a purpose, a soul blueprint to fulfill. On this show, you will find a higher purpose, a creative expression, and unique soul attributes that you can bring forth into this world. Stay tuned with me for the next hour and find your higher purpose on My Wild Magic, starting now. Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today. And we have a special guest on today, Shannon Converse. And what she does is we're going to be talking about how to use your ADD, ADHD as a superpower and to accomplish all your goals, really with a few, key learning tips that she'll be introducing us to. And she does life coach work with people who have ADD and ADHD. And she also teaches executive functions and how to take advantage of the amazing brain functions for people who do have ADD. So I always like to kind of think of ADD as sort of a definitely sort of on that indigo spectrum, people who are highly emotionally empathic, highly psychic, highly intuitive, highly sensitive. I usually sort of see as the ADD brain. And when you tip the scales negatively, you get the bad result, and you tap it positively, you get all these superhuman qualities. So welcome, Shannon, for joining us so much. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah. And so how did you get kind of involved with making ADD your specialty?
Sure. So I'm the poster child. Women with ADHD was not diagnosed as a child. And it took until I took myself into an office in college and said, you know what, I'm sitting in class. I really want to actually learn this. I really want to be here. And I can't, no matter what I do. So I think, finding a diagnosis and a reason and an understanding for me at that age was helpful. And I just, it's so much a part of who I am. And I say that without wanting to give the impression that I feel that my ADHD defines me, but I like to think of it as it gives me permission to be all of the things that I already am. And it makes me understand me a little bit better, which who wouldn't want that? So the thing about why I'm doing this now is that I've been a nurse practitioner for the last 18 years, and I've had patients with ADHD. I've struggled with my own ADHD in that environment and structure. And I took a step back a couple of years ago just to reboot myself and my family from a health perspective. I knew I wanted us to declutter our schedule and not be like go, go, go all the time. And I wanted more quality time. I wanted to eat better. I wanted to sleep better, all of these things. And in that time, when I stepped back, I realized without the structure of my job, just how much of a factor this is in my life. And as a mom of three kids, it was, to be honest, a disaster initially. And going down this deep dive of, I had to figure out how to not let this take over me. How can I make this work for me, or at least work with it? And long story short, the more I learned, the more I kind of got obsessed with learning more and more, I guess, about it. It helped me heal and relieve myself from a lot of shame, I think, that I didn't even know I felt. How many things that I thought or had been told were character things that actually aren't a part of my character. They're a part of my executive function sets, which things are stronger and which things are weaker for me. And so I decided that after doing all of this work to try and work on it for myself and my children, that I might as well share what I was learning, any tip or trick that I could to help other women in particular. And it just sort of organically grew from there. So now this is what I do full time, is coach mostly women, some kids and families, on how, I think of it as like life management, how to make life work better for you with ADHD instead of in spite of it. It's been really rewarding. I love it.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's a really interesting story, actually. And I love that you took kind of your karmic issue, and you made it into your dharma, your service work. So that's always brilliant when that happens, when somebody can do that. And people with ADD are actually quite good at that, actually. So, especially given the guidance. And so, if somebody wanted, like a lot of people don't get diagnosed, but they have these quirky little things about them, like I think sometimes with people with ADD and ADHD, people are just like, oh, they're a lot, or, oh, that's a little bit quirky. But they don't actually get diagnosed. So if somebody was curious about it, is there sort of some things that you could tell people to kind of watch for in their behavior or people around them, or do they have to go get diagnosed? Or
I mean, that's a really personal decision. And, even with my medical background, I am certainly not, someone who thinks you need the diagnosis or medicine or whatever. I do think everyone could benefit from a life coach. I'm a big believer in life coaching. I think it kind of saved me and helped me find my path. And I stand firm on that. So I think it's very misunderstood. We know so much more about ADHD than we used to. I think what we know most strongly is that the name itself is inappropriate for what it is. The truth is, for most people, including myself, I'm not that distracted. If anything, I'm hyper focused on things, which makes it difficult to do other things. And that's why I always talk about the superpowers of this, is that it's really about reframing things in the mind and looking at it through a different lens. And I think when you do that, you have empathy for yourself. But to your point, everyone has executive functions, and we can talk about, what those are, but everyone has them, and everyone has strengths and weaknesses. And yes, they kind of follow a certain pattern or set of things typically in people who have been diagnosed with ADHD. But what I love about what I do is it can help anyone with anything. Everyone needs, to figure out what systems really work for them, and how to be their authentic self is really what this is about. Being true to you, being authentic to you, and having the life pieces there for you to be able to do that. So when I talk about all those pieces, I think, I kind of have these three pillars I always work with people on. One is organization, because it is the number one thing people come to me out of frustration with. I think on the surface is that their perception is that they're so disorganized that everything else in their life is chaos. And there is usually quite a bit of disorganization, but there's also a high sense of, or a high group of people with perfectionism in ADHD too. And so we get organized in a different way than, you see on Pinterest or wherever else. We do it the ADHD friendly way. And then we get systems set up and we strategize things that make your everyday life a little bit easier. Simple is, I love simplifying as much as I possibly can, because then you have clarity and that helps you stay true to your purpose, right? And then the third one is wellness. It's my passion. I know that if I get off of my wellness track, then my ADHD does take over me and I can't organize or systemize or be true.
And that means like food, sleep, sugars, things like that. Yeah. Kind of tips of ADD. Yeah.
Yep. And that's all personal too. I believe in sleep hygiene and how our five senses affect our sleep. And like executive function, we all have senses that are stronger to us than others, and getting in tune with which ones are your stronger senses and using those to help you sleep better is something that I'm passionate about talking to people about as well.
Okay. So let's start with the first one being executive function. So what does that really mean? Like, how does it apply to our brain and our thinking?
Yeah. So depending on where you look, there are 7 or 8 executive functions. And really, they just are kind of the higher order of functions our brain is, expected or capable of performing, that are about our life skills. So things like working memory is one that is the ability to say you can think about one thing, like hold it in your mind while you're doing something else. So as a student, that's math, right? Can you add up this in your head, hold it while you then do the next part of a math problem? Or can you remember in a meeting what someone was talking, what your thought was that you wanted to raise your hand and say, and hold on to it while someone else is finishing their turn without interrupting? Impulsivity, on that note, is another one that is pretty common with ADHD, where there's usually a deficit in the ability to have control over our own impulsivity. And that's why, to your point, you know, when you mentioned that somebody will say, oh, they're kind of a lot. And sometimes that's why, because with working memory and impulsivity being an issue, they may not be able to like, just, they have to blurt it out, or they forget it, or they need to do it right now, or it's gone. But there are skills and tips and tricks that can help with that. So the first thing I usually do with people is kind of go through the executive functions and talk about, and I flip them on their head. I don't even really use the words of them. I just talk about the superpowers of them. Is that, do you want to get into that a little bit?
Yeah, just a minute. Okay, so you said that there were 7 or 8 executive functions. Did we cover all of them, or did we do 3?
We didn't cover all of them. No, we didn't cover all of them.
Four of them. And just going through a checklist in my head, and so far I got check. So if we just finish that up, and sure, then we'll probably, yeah.
Sure. Okay. So I don't have the other, like the list of the words in front of me, because I've again flipped them. But yeah, they go along with conversational skills and divergent thinking and intuition or connection, control over your own emotion, perception and observation of things that are around you, and you know, task and leadership skills are the last kind of bigger chunk of that. So sorry, I don't have the covers the full spectrum of them.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So you have 7 or 8, and so they're these executive functions. And so when they relate to the brain, it's like, this is like, everybody has a brain that can work. And these are like executive functions that somebody sort of said, hey, your brain, when it's ideal, kind of is able to do these 7 to 8 things. Some people can do it easier, some people more difficult. You know what I mean?
So it's kind of like, more like it's less of a strength and weakness. Yeah. It's more about like, which ones are dominant for you, which ones need more support. And that's true for every person, regardless of any diagnoses or current issues going on. It's just a simple map of which are your strengths.
Okay, got it. Okay, so we're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back to delve deeper into the superpowers of ADD. Stay tuned.
Are you passionate about impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune into the Life Strategy Show with your life strategy mentor, Lolita Smith, and say yes to bringing prosperity and success to your future right here and right now. Life is a picture of your mind, and Lolita is here to help you imagine it. Say goodbye to the strings of the past that have been holding you back for far too long. Rise up with Lolita and say yes to the solutions, prosperity, and unlimited possibility. Visit lifestrategymentor.com. That's lifestrategymentor.com.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne in the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shake the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself. And we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
Hey, welcome back. All right. So we're talking with Shannon Converse, and we're looking at the executive functions of our brain and how that interacts with ADD. And she was just fixing to lead us into how to kind of flip the scales with executive functions, moving into a superpower. So explain a little bit more about how you make that into a superpower, because a lot of people do feel very like challenged. Like, I have some clients that have ADD and they feel very, very challenged by it, as if there's something wrong and they need to figure out how to flip that switch. So how do you go about doing that?
Yep. I think the first thing is to just acknowledge what I think is the obvious, whether you're a student or working or at home or whatever your situation is. You know, our society is really structured in a very kind of fine way where they're, you know, we're supposed to fit a certain mold and that doesn't always work. So, I mean, I tend to something where, you know, the latest data says something about like 10% of the population, I believe more, has ADHD. Isn't it more of like a normal variant than like a deficit or a disorder? And so I think really just trying to acknowledge for yourself that you're trying to fit into somebody else's picture or mold most of the time, and then wondering why I don't fit doesn't make you feel very good about yourself. But I think, you know, having that awareness and understanding gives you a little bit of grace for yourself, I hope, anyway. So that's the first thing.
I do think that the whole, we're becoming a much more progressive, hopefully. Like, a lot of the new kids coming in are much more progressive, light sensitive, energy sensitive, more conscious. And that usually does open up different parts of the brain. Whereas when we set these mental standards and school standards, it was based on a whole different mentality. That's what, I don't know, 2, 3, 5,000 years old. I mean, I don't know how far back does the system we're dealing with that says this is the right way to think. How far back does that system actually go? Do you have any idea?
It's crazy. It's really sad. It's really sad how many people
archaic. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's why you see things, you know, like Montessori and whatever, you know, that we do have, you know, people who are aware that everybody thinks differently. And for example, the idea of having a child in a school where they're supposed to sit down, not move, and focus for endless time doing things that are like boring, usually, to be honest. And that, I mean, I'm not sure it's a good thing to say that you can do that easily. I feel like now that I understand that better, it's a great thing that that's a struggle.
Yeah. And, you know, I think with the ADD mind, it usually does have one of its positive gifts as being very progressive, future thinking. It's like, why do I need to learn that? How's it going to,
exactly,
you know? And so ADD people, I find, can sometimes be a little bit more defiant about things as well, because if they don't understand it and how it's going to work for them, they're kind of almost geared to challenge the system to create change too, one of its higher sides. Yeah.
They're the ones asking what if. So you will find that with ADHD are usually doing something entrepreneurial or creative if they're following an authentic path for themselves. I mean, the truth is there's a lot of people who are stuck in jobs or situations that are really just hard for them and they fight every day through it. But when they're doing something that works for them, it's usually something creative, something where whoever they work with or for has tapped into the fact that their skill set is to bring newer, bigger ideas, to think outside of the box. And that is definitely, you know, at the forefront of a superpower for ADHD. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's your next thing? So for one, not boxing yourself into a reality that doesn't really fit you. So that's one way of shifting it, so you don't feel bad about yourself. What's the one that you suggest for people to flip it into a superpower?
Sure. So like I said, I think, you know, yes, it can come off as being distracted to other people, but really most people have a hyper focus where you can't kind of break them out of what they're focused on. So they can't multitask the way that we usually define it. And so that's where I love teaching people how to use time chunking, for example, where most people with ADHD are pretty visual also. And so I will take like their calendar, for example, like whether it's in an electronic form or a paper form, and draw in amounts of time in big boxes, medium boxes, and small boxes, so that visually you can see realistically how much time there is for what things need to be done, and you can place them in those spaces. And that tends to help with hyper focus a lot, in addition to obviously like setting an alarm or a timer. Those are really helpful for people. And one of the things about it too is that tend to be super social and animated and energetic. And so it lends to loving having a partner or a buddy. One of the books that just changed everything for me is called ADD Friendly Ways to Organize Your Life. And in there, they talk about having different buddies. So it's a time tutor or a paper partner where somebody can help you like manage all of your papers.
Wow.
A body double where, you know, somebody can sit there. We used to joke that I would never be able to like go through and purge my closet without my sister sitting there with me. And now I know why. It's a real thing. And habit helper, tech tamer, all these words. But the reality is most people prefer to have somebody there with them, doing, not helping them do it, but just being there with them and keeping them on track, I guess, is helping, but not physically doing the act, just being there with them. And that's really helpful too. So I encourage people not to fight that. Why not? It's time you get to spend with somebody when you're able to.
So basically, each of the executive functions of the brain that you went over earlier, we're kind of going through how to flip that executive function with a certain skill set that is learnable, you know, into a superpower, right?
Yeah. So let me frame it this way. Like the top superpowers that I feel like people with ADHD have is their hyper focus, like we just talked about. But also having like the high energy we also talked about. High energy helps you be able to combine resilience and your hyper focus or any task oriented thing with the energy to get through. So within the right structure, that's a huge asset. You see that in like Michael Phelps and Simone Biles talk about that, about how they used their ADHD energy to dig deep into their drive as athletes. And obviously they were very successful doing that. But the other things that help are their conversation skills. So I, you know, that's something that is a huge asset in anything you do in your life. That's never going to be seen as something that isn't, you know, a huge asset, to be able to be great at conversation with people, genuinely curious and interested in other people. And again, the energy and focus to continue those conversations. People come off as very genuine in my experience, because they genuinely would like to get to know you or interested in you or remember things about you that stuck with them. And I think that's something that is, to me, a superpower, something that makes people feel good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah. So where you're saying, so like the ADD mind is naturally a very curious mind. And when they apply that to being curious about others, it actually creates better communication skills and better relationships with people. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Serves you well, right? So there's also an element of flexibility of thought. And so there was a study done about like how many people who are in a think tank that have ADHD or most likely have ADHD. And it's, again, it's that people ask what if and don't think inside the box always, are able to kind of take a step back and see a different picture. And so that flexible thinking skill is also a superpower. And I think it's untapped for a lot of people because we, again, try to fit into these boxes. And so if you're the person who's always questioning everything, you know, if you're not in the right place for that, that can be seen as whatever, an annoyance. But if you're in the right place, that's something that can be a huge asset as well.
Yeah. So with the energy around the being able to kind of shift that out, you know, in terms of the what if, it's a great thing. And I think a lot of times parents can get very annoyed with kids. It's like, well, why can't we do this? And why can't we do it that way? And what if it was like that? And being very imaginative can be maybe kind of annoying for a parent sometimes when they just need a bedtime. They just need the teeth brush. They just need this to happen kind of thing, right? And so society does kind of go in that. And school, for sure, it doesn't really leave a lot of room for the what ifs and thinking out of the box, unless you got a school or a teacher. I think sometimes you just get a teacher that's really good, that knows how to work with it. It can be the one teacher you remember out of your entire, you know, school experience.
It's all about stimulation, right? And keeping us interested. That's what ADHD is. It's about the dopamine in the brain. That's your reward center. And so if there's not like some intrinsic reward to what you're doing, you're going to lose interest and have trouble staying focused. And so that's where you find, you know, teachers who keep it interesting, who are animated, who change it up frequently, find that, you know, those kids do so much better in their classroom and are more willing to work with and for them because they're getting what they need back. And what happens is if they aren't in that environment, there's, you know, this element to ADHD of like, if you don't have the stimulation around you, you'll create it. And that's where, you know, in some kids and in some adults, you'll see them kind of create chaos for themselves or act out or whatever when they're younger. But it's a brain chemistry thing. Like if you are not, you know, getting that stimulus, you will create it for yourself, because you need it. There, you know, there's a lot of evidence that there's a deficit of dopamine and we all need it. It's a feel good thing. It's a reward center. So I think people are pretty motivated to work to have that in their environment whenever they can. But yeah, can get some people in trouble.
Wow, I didn't realize that. But so it's kind of cool. I'm just going to sort of say, so basically people who have a tendency to kind of keep creating things in their life that could seem chaotic or keeps them in a high energy, it's basically kind of a dopamine response. So we're going to go to a quick break. We're going to be right back. I'm super curious about this dopamine thing you got talking about. So we'll circle back around to that in a second.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. This is Courtney Cottrell, host of Unapologetically Favorite on Transformation Talk Radio, here to give you some tips on how you can move your life forward if you're feeling stuck by using the GROW model. First, use the letter G to write down the goal that you ultimately want to achieve, whether it's working out 1 hour a day or working towards a promotion at work. Second, using the letter R, think realistically about the roadblock that is currently holding you back from accomplishing your goals. Third, use the letter O. Think about the options or opportunities that will help you in achieving your goal. What can you change in your daily routine that will help you move closer to achieving your goal? Fourth, use the letter W to discover your will and make a true commitment to achieving your goal by writing down a completion date. Once you've reached your goal, celebrate your accomplishment. You are capable of achieving anything you set your mind to. Never give up and keep being unapologetically you.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Oh, self-care can be so much fun. And it's not just about bubble baths, but instead about prioritizing the wholeness of who you are without it taking a lot of time out of your day. I'm Claudia Sam, your soul connection coach, host of the Be Happy Now show, I invite you to put yourself at the top of the to-do list without guilt. Join me in the Soul Connector Circle community. Get daily pocket coaching and support to stay on track. Go to soulconnectorcircle.com and use the discount code RADIO.
Do you feel like love is just taking you for a ride? If you struggle to find yourself in a fulfilling romantic relationship, join me, Love Coach Mariah, in my show, Becoming Secure in Love, From Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, every second and fourth Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Discover the joy of being loved as your true, authentic self. Visit LoveCoachMariah.com for more. That's LoveCoachMariah.com.
Hey, welcome back. Thank you. We are talking to Shannon Converse about the brilliance of the ADD mind. So Shannon, if people wanted to get in touch with you to maybe do a one-on-one coaching session, or maybe they had a child or a family member that, how would they get in touch with you?
Yeah. So the easiest way is probably to go to my website, which is just shannonconverseconsulting.com. You can schedule like a free consultation call with me. I, you know, always want to make sure that we're the right fit for each other and we have expectations that are realistic on both sides. And, so that's the easiest way is to click that button, but you can also email me at shan.g.converse@gmail.com.
Cool. All right. Awesome. So, all right. So I've got some feedback on my end. I'm not sure what to do about that. Okay, so, all right, so we were talking about the executive functions and how to transform them into superpowers by taking something that would normally seem like a negative to people or society, but when you figure out how to access them, they actually become a positive. And some examples of that that I can think off the top of my head would be like Nikola Tesla, most likely, Leonardo da Vinci, Mozart, Michelangelo.
I mean, we talked about athletes, but there's also, you know, so many entrepreneurs out there in the world. There tends to be a lot of actors, actresses, and artists. And a lot of times it's people who have come up with like really unique business ideas that obviously they would not have thought of if they didn't have like this flexible thinking, executive function thing working for them as a strength. So if you are, can you hear me?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Perfect. So when you have a strength of flexible thinking, you are able to expand those thoughts to new ideas or bigger ideas that maybe other people, more neurotypical people don't have. And because you may or may not lack impulse control, you're not as likely to hold back on those ideas. You're more likely to act on them, which is awesome. You have the energy to act on those and to be resilient and to really just, you know, explore things and then take them to another level. And we see that time and time again with a lot of different famous people, which is great.
Yeah, it is. And it's, I think it changes society because when you have somebody like that, you know what I mean? Van Gogh, you know, you have them, they change history. They change the way we see art. They change Picasso. They change everything. They kind of open up society to new worlds, new dimensions, new energies, that kind of thing. So,
but I think all of you would say that, you know, they weren't maybe appreciated in the moment for those things, which is a bummer. So that's kind of what I hope to work on with people is, you know, like we talked about earlier, reframing these things, not as even differences or deficits, but that everybody has their strengths. And when we stop, you know, putting labels on them or putting people into boxes, then you can appreciate it. But I'm sure that, like, you know, most people throughout history who are now really famous for those things probably didn't have it very easy. And that's a bummer. And I hope that that changes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because a lot of them did kind of mentally, emotionally suffer and have their own issues. So, so going back into the executive functions and turning them into powers, you said you had about four more we're going to look at.
Yeah. So the big one for a lot of people is task initiation. People are like, ugh, you know, if you would just tell me what to do, I can do it. But the having to come up with what to do next, in what order, how, and then getting started or knowing where to start stumps people all the time. So one of the things I always say to people is action over perfection. It's a really hard thing when most of us are perfectionists at heart, actually, but to just do something, to just move forward, that getting started on anything always gets the ball moving. And, you know, when I was a kid, I remember my mom saying, like, just write one sentence, then the rest of the paper, then we write the next sentence. And I just would get so overwhelmed with this idea of writing this, you know, 5-paper essay that I could not figure out where to get started. And I would get overwhelmed and quit, honestly. And so having somebody sit with me and figure out where to get started was huge. So I think that once you can get through something like task initiation that's difficult, you know, the sky is the limit in terms of where you'll take whatever you're doing. That's where you become, you know, hyper-focused or really creative. But people really do need help frequently on figuring out how to get started. That's why when I work with people on, for example, teaching somebody how to get organized with ADHD is really different. And that's because we have to follow kind of a few rules. One is we got to keep it interesting, like we talked about with the dopamine. We have to make it fun, make it stimulating. For me, that's listening to a podcast or an Audible or having someone there with me. And the second is to come up with some sort of reward for yourself. Like, when I get this done, I'm going to do this. And being able to do something guilt-free later, knowing that you feel great having completed something, is a really motivating thing. And then the third is having a plan. If you don't have a plan, nothing goes to plan. So one of the things I try to provide for people is a simple plan, like exactly what they ask for. Just do this in this order. Whenever you are going to walk up to something you want to organize, say it's your home office or your pantry, follow these steps. Don't think about it. Don't overthink it. Just do this. And it seems to work really well. And then it becomes habit over time. And they can tweak it to become their own. But just having one way to do things gives you that, where do I get started? And that's what really people need. They get hung up on where to start.
I see. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So the one that you were mentioning during the break also is that people who have a lot of physical activity, like they want to move around a lot, you know, but that also helps them to maybe be more exploratory with yep. stuff.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, these are, you know, when we talk about kids who do really well, being able to get up and walk around a classroom, they will pay attention. To people who are neurotypical, that seems almost insane that you could get up and walk around and touch things. Or I've even been in a school where they can work at a workbench and use tools while they're listening. Is huge, because they need movement and exploration to be able to take in information. So, you know, for example, my dad and I used to go round and round when I was a kid that I needed to listen to music to study. And he would say, how in the world can you possibly be paying attention to what you're reading or doing or writing if you're listening to music? Because his brain doesn't work that way. But I couldn't do it any other way. I still can't. So yeah. That's, you know, one of those things where, you know, movement and exploring and, you know, there's a lot of different ways that you can approach that.
Okay, cool. And any others in terms of executive function being turned into a superpower? Like,
sure. I think, you know, back to the impulse control and kind of planning and prioritizing. Planning and prioritizing is an executive function that involves setting and meeting goals. And impulse control, obviously, is just thinking before acting. This is why when people learn how to harness these things or use them to their advantage, you see a lot of leadership in people with ADHD. But it's also where a lot of people are afraid to take leadership roles because they don't really kind of have that the skill set to know that if they can set and meet goals in a way that works for them, which might be a little different from other people, that they can be great leaders because they have the willingness to say what other people don't sometimes. They can be direct and succinct and to do multiple problem solving tasks, you know, at once when you're operating on your own intuition is a really powerful package, I think. And that's something that is a barrier to break through for people, like how to get there. But then when they do, they just flourish. So I think knowing that those two executive functions are out there and that they just need to be tweaked for your brain, you know, maybe it's as simple as a different layout of how you keep your notes to yourself or your calendar again, or, you know, the way your home or office are laid out or the way that you structure your time and the way you set out your priorities. There's some really, you know, ADHD friendly ways that you can change those so that you can really work to your potential.
So what about with the impulse control? Like, I know that's what I deal with quite a lot, you know, and it just makes me look a crazy person a lot of the times. But impulse control. So what would you suggest? Because my emotions just get carried away. And then my brain is like, I know this is a really good thing. And then in hindsight, I'm like, was it a really good thing? I don't really know now because I'm out of the emotion of it. But then when I'm in the emotion, my brain is like, very good thing. Do it at all costs. Everybody out of my way.
Yep. It is so awesome to have that, but it also can be really embarrassing sometimes. So, you know, I think my first thing is when you have an idea, it's hard to stop yourself, but if you can just take the time to stop and write it down, that gives you some, gets the emotional control in check. So if you can write it down for yourself. And it's really tough, but it's really important to train it.
When I do take the time to journal in the mornings, because I do have to meditate every day. I do my yoga 5 rites every day. I have to work about an hour a day. But when I do take the time to write it down, I have noticed that I talk it out a little bit through the writing, and my brain's like, this is really what's going on versus what gets sort of triggered in there. Like, what do you think it causes the brain to just shoot off? Like once we get emotionally triggered with something, usually it's by emotion, but when the emotions come up, it just the thinking changes. My brain, well, hang on a sec. We actually have to go to a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
And okay.
Definitely want to cover.
I have a good thought for you on that.
Okay, great.
Too many people go too long forgetting their true soul purpose. Join me, Gina Gale Gray, every fourth Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific in Savvy Solutions. Take the journey back to me with a freedom coach and oracle on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find your soul oceans now in my show. Learn how you can release the wall around your heart and follow your emotional being back to connection and compassion. Visit AnywhereMindBodySoul.com.
In body, in power, in soul. Activate the spirit within you in deep conversations of power, faith, grace, love, and forgiveness. On Soul Inspired Reflections, Ascension, a humble awakening of the heart. Join me, your host, Gina Libido, every second Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And find that even the chaos of your world makes sense and has meaning and purpose. Make a choice, be inspired, take action. For more information, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org.
Melissa Johnson is a certified life coach, author, speaker, and creator of WOW Ministries, Worship Over Worry, designed to give you the tools needed to live a life of purpose. You have a choice daily to worry about your life and give up the fight, or decide to worship God through your pain and triumph victoriously. Melissa Johnson offers a variety of books, curriculums, and programs to guide you through a self-discovery journey.
Book your consultation with Melissa Johnson today at WOWMinistriesLLC.com.
What if you could enter a sacred vortex of love and beauty, infused with the power of the earth and ascended masters?
Join myself, Dr. Georgia Herrera and Dr. Sharon Martin, in the Sacred Magic Show.
Bring in the mystical and sacred for healing, airing every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You too can have your health and life challenges melt away.
Join now and feel your heart open up to the answers to your most important questions.
Okay, all right. So we were fixing to go into when people have impulsive energy, i.e., I was asking the question for myself, but so people have the impulsive thing.
We were talking about writing things down, and obviously, you know, when you're feeling super impulsive, it's hard to train yourself to do that, but I think it's really important. And a couple of examples of that are in conversation, when we feel like, you know, frequently people with ADHD will interrupt. They don't mean to, they're not trying to be rude, they're very aware of it, but it is an impulse thing. And like I said earlier, you're afraid of forgetting what you have to say. So in an instance like that, you know, having a small, you know, post it next to you or something, whether you're in a meeting or a conversation or even happy hour, and just like make a little note for yourself so that you don't interrupt is a good practice. But what I was going to say to you about writing it down too, and you mentioned journaling, is that I used to hate journaling because it overwhelmed me. I think I felt like if I started to write things down, I would get hyper-focused and be there for hours. And how could my brain keep up with my pen? So I would just sort of avoid it. And working through with a life coach and doing very specific tasks, writing things down, for example, using a bullet journal has been hugely helpful. And the reason for that is that you're doing those two things at once, like we talked about. So you are writing at the same time as thinking and processing and probably also talking. So it calms down the brain, it helps you focus, and it gives you that freedom of movement. So I really recommend that people, when they're struggling with impulsivity, write things down, not only because it calms you, but because when you're in that space, it gives you clarity. So my best ideas have always come from when I actually wrote things down. And as much as I wanted to fight that for a long time, I can no longer deny that. If I can sit there and write it down in my own words, and maybe I make a visual map of an idea I have or whatever, I just get clarity on this is a great idea, even a better idea than I ever thought it was. I should definitely run with this, and it's not crazy impulsive. Or, you know, that probably wasn't the best idea and I'm glad I thought about it. But it just gives you pause. And it will serve you really well.
Yeah. The other thing that I find with people who do have ADD type symptoms, ADD, ADHD, is that highly psychic, highly intuitive, highly emotionally empathic, like those qualities are usually on the higher level, I find, with people who have that ADD symptomatic kind of energy. And so when you write something down, I know for me, what happens is it helps me to figure out how I feel or what I think about something versus all the things I've picked up from everybody around me, which is partly what will sometimes throw me into more of a ADD type symptom, is that I've just picked up too many people in my nervous system and I get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So I think journaling is super helpful for that too, just to kind of separate that.
And there's kind of a filter of rationality that we run things through. And one of the things that happens, you know, when you're more highly intuitive and connected to your emotions, is that you can, if you can avoid that filter of rationality, then, you know, you have the space for expression and ideas that you wouldn't have otherwise had. And that's another, I think, superpower, that, you know, that filter isn't quite there for us the same way, which is really a great thing. It doesn't stop us from doing these great ideas that we have, whether impulsive or not.
Yeah. So that kind of brings me to the next subject I had to ask you about, was ADD and emotions. Like, most of the time people think of ADD as a mental thing. It's the way your brain is thinking and processing. But I find ADD has a lot to do with the emotions. And again, when emotions in the nervous system get overwhelmed, then the brain kind of goes, like, the brain is quite brilliant on ADD, like, let's say those higher qualities. But if it gets shut down at the base of the brain, the medulla oblongata, because we get afraid or overwhelmed, all that brilliant energy can't make it through the heart. Then that's when the brain starts, you know, spinning out of control, right? But we can keep moving. It's, like I said, quite creative, quite in flow. So, like I said, so people usually think of ADD as a brain thing, but how do you think of it in terms of an emotional thing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the executive functions is emotional control, keeping your feelings in check. That's number two. So, you know, exactly. It's something that, and so that's one of those things where, you know, there's a lot of social influence on our emotions and we are reactive to people around us who tend to be more, you know, while we're more intuitive, we're also more sensitive and empathetic, I feel. And, you know, I'm speaking in generalities here. These are common. That doesn't mean that anyone with an ADHD type profile is all of these things, just to clarify. Oh, wow. But, you know, the other side of the emotional control is, you know, when people aren't addressing their ADHD or executive function issues, you know, obviously we see a high amount of depression and anxiety and self-medicating and all of those things because of the struggle to control emotions. So I really think that, you know, a combination of the wellness piece that I was talking about earlier, where, you know, we know sleep affects our emotions. We know food more than anything affects our emotions. One thing a lot of people don't realize is that these other hormones and neurotransmitters and things in your body that affect your emotions really start in your gut. And, you know, everybody's heard a lot lately about gut health and leaky gut and all of those things, but it's real, it's chemical, it's biological. And if those things are not in check and working and healthy, you're kind of running an uphill battle. So keeping your emotions feeling good and under control is really difficult if the wellness piece is not there. I also think it's one of the reasons that organization comes up so much for people. Clutter makes us feel cluttered no matter what. I have yet to meet a person, even, you know, I used to make house calls. I've been in homes where people are hoarders. They will swear up and down that it doesn't bother them or that it even comforts them. But if, you know, if that were true, we wouldn't also see like these high levels of depression and anxiety and other things that manifest themselves. So I really think that the state of your environment affects your emotional control. And it's important that you feel comfortable in your space in order to keep that in check.
Yeah, excellent. I so agree with that. Yeah, it makes a huge difference to my energy field. Yeah. So then the other thing that tends to run high with ADD is anxiety.
Yep. They're easily misconstrued for each other. They go hand in hand. You know, our perception of anxiety is kind of similar to hyperactivity for some people, right? Being unable to sit still or calm yourself is what people identify as anxiety, but also an ADHD trait. But it's one of those vicious cycles where when things are calm in your environment and you feel, I guess I hate to use the word control, but in control of your systems and your environment and your place and your emotions and your health, then all of those things settle. Anxiety, you know, is a manifestation of not feeling in control of things that matter to you. And obviously it's bigger and deeper than that chemically too. But I really think that, you know, it's very easy to see how when one of these executive functions is going haywire. So if your emotional control isn't, you know, doing very well, if your organization isn't well, if you aren't planning and prioritizing, that's going to make anyone anxious. Because we worry is really what it is, worry about how to fix it. And when you add in the task initiation issue, I think for ADHD, what's hard is where do I get started to get myself out of feeling this way is really difficult also.
Yeah. So you were speaking a minute ago about being empathic, that sometimes mm-hmm. people, you know, because they have a lot of emotional intelligence, emotional energy, mm-hmm. like an antenna almost. Like I see sort of the brain on ADD has a lot of crystalline structure in the brain. The nervous system is very developed. So it's like having these antennas, right? And so when you're sensing, you know, something that you empathically feel needs something, you know, how does that work with ADD? Like how would you help that? Like my empathic scales are kind of off the Richter scale to the point that I go into debt, making sure everybody's okay from empathizing anything that they might need that I anticipate 10 steps ahead of the game. So with empathy, if people who have that, what would you say to help balance out empathy?
I really think a lot of it, but, sure. It's just trying to, is that awareness? Like, you're aware of that. You know that you have that, but a lot of people don't. They don't realize, like, there's a lot of self-sabotage that's involved in this. And I think that goes hand in hand with empathy sometimes, where we will, you know, care so much and feel so much about everything and everyone around us that we lose our sense of self and we don't take care of ourselves. And, you know, it's the age old, you can't be of much help to anyone else if you're not doing very well yourself. And so it really is like an awareness of how important it is to take control of yourself, your needs, to feel like you are balanced and clear and simple structures around you. Just to have that clarity is really important because you're more available to productively help other people. But as far as overwhelm, I mean, mindfulness is a huge piece of this, as you know, and you know, getting somebody with anxiety or ADHD to initiate starting a meditation practice is super difficult in most cases. So I always recommend that people try like 5 minutes a day, and it doesn't have to be like a sit down and be calm and quiet. If that works for you, that's great. I am not that person. I have to do movement meditation. I have to walk. If I'm not walking or moving, I can't meditate. And that's okay. It doesn't need to fit some picture of what we think meditation is. It's just giving your brain and your mind a moment to clear all that energy you've been absorbing from around you so that you can kind of start over. And
so one of the resources I would suggest for people if they do want to meditate is go to the meditate.me app by Kelly Howell. She has a website called BrainSync, SYNC.com. It does amazing work on helping your brain to balance out, and it's BrainSync.com. Also, we're coming to a close with our show, but Shannon, thank you so much for being on. And again, if anybody wants to get in touch with her, they can go to shannonconverse.com.
Shannonconverseconsulting.com. Yep.
And if anybody's interested in doing any personal sessions or work with me, you can check out or learn how to meditate. Go to mywildmagic.com. So, all right. Well, thank you for being on the show. Fascinating subject. And we will talk again next week. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to My Wild Magic with me, your host, Adrienne Cobb. Each one of us has a soul purpose on this earth and a higher purpose full of creative expression and unique soul attributes. Make sure to tune in next week on TransformationTalkRadio.com to continue your journey home to your truest self and pursue the path of unconditional self-love. If you would like to learn more about me, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.